Okay. ॐ यदाच मिलन्दस्यात् धनञ्जना श्लकया चक्षुर्मिलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. We'll just speak for a few minutes about the meaning of this marriage and also the most important qualities that will make this marriage a success. Very short lecture. So, the meaning of the marriage. Many times people will be asked, what is the meaning of the marriage, and they will not know. The meaning of the marriage is a spiritual partnership to realize the ultimate goal of life, the reason that we're here in this world, which is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. By understanding this very nice verse that Krishna speaks in the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text 29, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarva Lokamaheshram Suvidam Sarva Bhutanam Gyatvam Mam Shanti Richate. That one should understand that Krishna is the enjoyer, Bhoktaram, of all sacrifices, Jagatapasam, all austerities, and he is the Sarva Lokamaheshram. He's the Lord of all the worlds, and Bhutanam. He is the friend of all living entities, and if one understands this, one will be peaceful both in this life and the next, and will be able to reach the supreme destination, and in this way, the marriage will actually be eternal. People often talk about eternal love or eternal relationships. Spiritual relationships are eternal. That is relationships based upon serving Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whereas all the relationships come to an end at the end of this body. But this couple, by dedicating their lives to the service of Krishna, will associate with each other and exchange love forever and ever and ever. That's one point. So as far as how to achieve this spiritual partnership, and I'm using the word partnership deliberately. It is not, as some people may think, that the man should be the boss and the women should simply do what he says. But it should be an equal partnership. There should be intimate friendship and assisting each other in their spiritual progress as well as fulfilling the material needs. And in order to do that, the most important essential quality required is that of loyalty. Of course, we often refer to loyalty as chastity, and sometimes the word chastity is just used in relationship with the woman rather than with the man. But both the man, the woman, the bride, and the groom are required to be chaste to each other. That means loyal to each other. And to illustrate that point, I'm going to mention a little bit about Lord Rama's pastimes. Of course, you all know about the Ramayana and how Lord Ram, he requested Sita Devi to go to the forest when there was some criticism there. And Sita Devi was living in the ashram of Valmiki Muni. So at that point, some of the brahmacharis living in the ashram of Valmiki Muni, they had some doubts about Sita Devi's chastity. They were thinking, who is this lady? Because they did not know it was Sita Devi. Who is this lady who has just had a child? And so Valmiki Muni decided to show the brahmacharis that she was actually chaste. What they did was there was a lake right next to Valmiki Muni's ashram. It was called the Shivi Sagara. That is, it is a lake with something like 10 or even 80 yojanas long. Very long lake, just like the distance between here and New Zealand, basically. Little less. So once upon a time, there was a bird, a male bird and a female bird. And the female bird came late one day after catching some worms. And the male bird asked her, "Why have you come late? You are an unchaste bird." And the female bird said, "We are just birds. Birds are not supposed to be chased. Birds are not human beings. They don't have vivaha yamas like this." And so the male bird said, "Yes, but we are birds living in an ashram. And in ashram, birds have to observe the same principles as human beings. So you are an unchaste bird. And if you want to prove your chastity, you have to fly over this whole lake." It was like I said, about 80 yojanas wide, which is in miles, 800 miles or kilometers, about 1,200 kilometers. Big lake. So this bird, little lady bird, she went to fly as a pigeon. Pigeon means small bird. She went to fly over this lake, and she gradually was dropping down, but then the demigods helped her, and they helped her fly over the whole lake. So the thought was that Valmiki Muni had was that we should apply the same test to Sita Devi. So Sita Devi should go over the whole lake without getting wet. And that is exactly what happened. And then the brahmacharis were convinced. Because Sita Devi never thought of anyone for even one instant other than Lord Ram. So the same was there for Lord Ram. When Lord Ram was getting ready to perform the Raja Suya sacrifice, there was some discussion that in order to perform the Raja Suya sacrifice, it was required to have your wife there. So everyone was talking, who will Lord Ram marry now that Sita's not there? So they were saying, "Oh, you should marry this girl, you should marry that girl," but Lord Ram said, "No, I will only be married to Sita Devi." Even though he was king, it was allowed in those days for king to have many wives. There's one story in the Bhagavatam about one king who had 10 million wives. That's a lot, right? 10 million? That was Chitraketu, his name. The poor guy. So what happened is that Ram said, "No, you should make this statue of Sita Devi." He was so dedicated. "You should make her statue, and her statue can be put right beside me as I do the Raja Suya sacrifice." So he was completely meditating on Sita Devi all the time, in spite of being separated from her, and Sita Devi was meditating on Lord Ram. So that is dedication. That is loyalty. And that is one thing that is very difficult to find in this day and age. This age is called the age of Kali. In the age of Kali, there's a little truthfulness remaining, but that truthfulness is diminishing, getting smaller day by day. So that truthfulness is loyalty. And loyalty means that when we make a promise, this is what we're doing today. This is the essence of this marriage ceremony. There's a lot of paraphernalia, a lot of different rituals that will go on, such as mounting the stone and stepping in the rice, circles, exchanging garlands, pouring the laja, so many rituals. But the essence is the promise. And the promise is to remain faithful and chaste to each other forever. This is very important. Never breaking. Promises should never be broken. When our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, came to the Western world and he saw that sometimes people broke promises, he was shocked. Because he had come from a high-class culture. So if we want to be high-class, we should be determined to keep whatever vows and promises we make. You see, like even Grandfather Bhishma, he had promised never to get married, to always serve, And he kept that promise. We should be so determined. So we are enjoining the married couple today to take this promise, or these promises you're making, very seriously, to make this an eternal partnership in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with the goal of becoming more and more advanced in spiritual life, and eventually going back to the spiritual world together to serve Krishna and Srimati Radharani. So thank you very much. So we'll proceed with the rest of the marriage ceremony now. So the next item is the giving away of the bride. It's called Sampradana. So what happens here is that the groom and the bride smear kumkum and chandan on their right hands. And the groom, after this, takes the bride's right hand and places it on top of his right hand. And then a married woman with a son should bind the two hands with puja, grass, and garlands.